Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. And it is 2022, the year of our Lord, and we're joined by the late, great Pete Donaldson. He's not dead yet. He's still great, no. But he's not late. How you doing, Pete? Welcome to a brand new year. Ready to go again.
Still kicking. 2022. I remember when when it was 1990. Jesus. I was conscious of when the clock struck 12. I was up late and I was watching the clock tick over to 1990. And I thought, this is the most futuristic thing I could possibly envisage. And now we're in 2022. What is that? A lot of too many twos. Too many twos, Chris.
I know, right? I saw The Matrix the other day, Matrix Resurrections, right? And as I was watching it, I love the original Matrix. The other two, yeah. The Matrix Reloaded is quite good. The third one, yeah. But The Matrix is such an amazing film, a solid 10 out of 10. And as I was sitting there watching The Matrix Resurrections in the IMAX theater, I thought, this is the first time I've ever seen a Matrix film in the cinema. Because when the first one came out, I was 9 years old, right? And the other two films, I was like 12 and 14 respectively. But it was quite a cool moment. Shame the film was rubbish. But it was quite a powerful moment. It was a powerful thing.
That's the thing. Everyone kind of, everyone was clearly under embargo when they said, I've seen, they do these things where a lot of people who work in film, television or video games, they've got, you know, they're obviously bound by embargoes, the old Mongols. They're bound by them until a certain date and time. And it's really, really funny.
They're like,
they all race to get their... Yeah, they all say, I've been to see it, but I can't tell you what it's about. You know, keep listening and I'll let you know what it's like. And I think at like 12 o'clock on a certain day, everyone just went, oh, God, that sucked so hard. That was so terrible.
I mean, yeah, I saw that. I saw a lot of people who were trying to give off mixed messages. The bottom line is it was kind of entertaining. And I don't think it was a cash grab. I don't think they did it just for money. I think the director, I think Lana Wachowski, was actually invested in their idea. And it was an interesting idea. But the story was a little bit underwhelming. A lot of the side characters were very forgettable and the stakes just felt like they weren't really there. I'm still kind of glad they did it because it was a fun experience to watch and it was entertaining.
You generally, Chris, walk around Sendai in like a floor-length leather jacket and with little sunglasses. So like you're very much into the aesthetic. You're very into the aesthetic.
Yeah, I listen to Rage Against the Machine as I walk through the streets. You think that's air you're breathing? I love the original Matrix. The one thing, as I was watching it, I did think, good God, the original Matrix was brilliant. And I want to go back and rewatch it now and relive the magic of the first film and kind of the second one, but not really the third one. But there you go, The Matrix. Kick off 2022 watching that. I want to see the Spider-Man movie. But annoyingly, while Matrix Resurrections came out in Japan, like almost like a week before any other country in the world, Spider-Man comes out a month after it's come out everywhere else. So, yeah. God damn it. I hate myself. I really want to watch Spider-Man. I love Spider-Man 2. Alfred Molina, who apparently I look like. Apparently I look like Doc Ock. I'm not sure I see it myself.
Yeah, I love that.
I love Spider-Man 2. It's probably my favourite superhero film of all time, actually. And I'm not someone who's like, I've got to see every Marvel thing. I've got to do it. I've got to see Marvel. I love Spider-Man 2. And I'm looking forward to this one. Are you a fan? You don't like Marvel that much, do you?
No. I really don't watch that many superhero-y sort of things. I enjoyed the animated one, whatever that is, the Spider-Verse.
The multiverse.
That was beautifully Spider-Man put together. Yeah. But I've not watched a Spider-Man since. Was Spider-Man 3 was when Andrew Garfield went emo? God. Was that the third one or the second one? Either way. I think Spider-Man I might have watched the one.
One with Tobey Maguire, where he goes full emo, and it's very... very bad.
Right, sorry.
A terrible
film. Not Andrew Garfield. Yeah, I meant Tobey Maguire. Yeah, I think I may. I don't think I've even watched 3. I think I watched 2. That's the one where he fights Macho Man Randy Savage in a ring, and Macho Man Randy Savage is called Bonesaw, and it was one of his last roles before he died, sadly. Or great if you didn't like the man. It depends, I suppose. I'm not a big superhero guy. I did start to watch. I did fancy the second crack at the Suicide Squad, and I ordered it on Prime, couple of quid, and I sat down. I said to my partner, "I said, let's watch this. It's supposed to be good. I know you don't like superhero films. I don't like superhero films." And within like 30 seconds, there was like a fucking mongoose or a weasel on the screen. And she looked at me, and I looked at her, and I went, "We're not going to get past the first 5 minutes because you will not accept that there's a talking weasel in this fucking thing." And so we turned it off, and we watched something else instead.
What did you watch?
But
instead?
Her face
Home Alone
was more entertaining than any superhero film. Sort of going, "Why are you making me watch this?" But it's supposed to be good. The second Suicide Squad, it's supposed to be better.
I didn't overly enjoy it. It was all right, quite forgettable. Right. I've seen a lot of bad films this last year. I'm hoping 2022 will be a year of good films.
But you're in a situation, Chris, where your fan base is so much younger than any people who listen to my kind of like football show and stuff like that. So you have a responsibility to be part of that conversation. You have a responsibility to watch those films. Nobody needs my opinion on, you know, Transformers or superhero films. Nobody needs it.
With great power comes great responsibility, Pete.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, I, to be honest though, I don't like being critical of films because one day I'd like to make a film, and with every movie, you know, the team that made it have made it with passion and love, unless it's a simple cash grab. And I'm trying to think of a film that is a simple cash grab. What's a cash grab example, Pete? What's a film that was made solely for money? A lot of sequels.
Probably all the Transformers ones.
and the Terminator ones. The last three Terminator films. Dreadful. Yeah. Absolutely.
Any
dreadful.
Of the remakes, really.
Yeah. But I think The Matrix was made with passion and love. And it's not, you know, it's a shame. It's just a bit boring. But there you go. Go and check it out. Oh, looking forward to Spider-Man, though. We've got a story this week to kick off 2022 from Ryan from a great country known only as the US. And he says, "Hi, Chris Chan and Pete Kun. My first trip to Japan was for 3 weeks in December 2019 during my Christmas break before my senior year of college. I went by myself, hoping to meet as many people and experience as much of the local culture as possible. I got a lot of ideas for my trip from your videos, but the one that stood out to me the most was Kagaya Izakaya in Tokyo." Oh, good God. Not the frog bar, not the crazy bar. The worst bar in Tokyo. So I stayed up super late to call Kagaya-san on the phone and make a dinner reservation for the fifth day of my trip. I got to Japan, and on the night of my reservation, I showed up. There were no customers, and Kagaya-san sat me down at a tiny one-person kneeling table in the corner. Just to give some exposition to this story, Kagaya Bar is a bar that I've made a video on called Tokyo's Craziest Bar. And that's an understatement. It's basically a one-man band, a one-man masterclass of mindfuckery. This guy, he must be in his mid-40s, and he comes out and just does the craziest shit you will ever see with puppets, with toys. It's pretty messed up. I'm amazed my video has not been demonetized or my entire channel's been delisted for what happens in that video, especially with that puppet frog and the girl's face. But anyway, go and watch that video. and make sure there's no kids nearby. Anyway, in the story, Ryan continues. A few minutes later, two young women, who I assume are Japanese, came in and sat down at a two-person kneeling table in the corner of the room. Since it was just the three of us in the dining room, and I wanted to break the awkwardness, and also because I was very social and outgoing during this trip, I started to make conversation with them. It turned out one of them was Japanese and the other was from Singapore, and they lived in Japan for the past several years and spoke fluent Japanese. They lived in the mountains in Takayama. They were visiting Tokyo for just one day and had to head back home early the next morning. I love Takayama, beautiful city. That's where we did the Dr. Jelly commercial with Joey, the second one. The three of us talked throughout the dinner, and Kaguya-san did not disappoint. Then I asked if they wanted to hang out after dinner, and they agreed. For a couple of hours, we wandered around Tokyo talking and exploring convenience stores, electronic stores, and more. And then we split up since they had to go back to the hotel and head back to Takayama the next morning. But we exchanged line contacts to stay in touch. I'd hit it off especially well with the Singaporean girl, and we started texting throughout the rest of my trip. And eventually she invited me to visit her in Takayama City. I shifted my entire itinerary around so I could come to visit her on Christmas Eve, but I had to go back to Osaka a couple of days later for a cooking class that I'd booked. Over the couple of days that I visited her in Takayama, we started to realize we were kind of into each other. I left for Osaka the day after Christmas, but we planned for me to return to New Year's Eve, in New Year's Eve, to celebrate with her Japanese friends. I came back on New Year's Eve, helped coordinate her New Year's Eve dinner, which ended up being one of the highlights of the trip, and I count myself incredibly lucky to have been able to experience Japanese New Year's in a way that very few tourists are able to do. After dinner, we confessed our feelings for each other, and she decided to come with me to Tokyo for the last few days of my trip before I flew home. We eventually broke up due to the immense difficulty of an international long-distance relationship imposed by the pandemic, but we had some amazing experiences along the way, which I have both you as well as Kaguya-san to thank for. All the best, guys. Ryan from the US with his... It felt like reading 500 Days of Summer, you know, that film where it almost works out, but it doesn't, and it's about a couple that didn't... A good romantic story. You want the last paragraph to read. And now we're married and we live in Singapore, and we lived happily ever after. That didn't happen. This is a more grounded, a more realistic story. But I am amazed you met this girl in the the craziest, most traumatic bar in Tokyo. I could never imagine like a love story kicking off there. Like, we went there for Sharla's birthday about 2 years ago. And you can go watch the video on her channel and how horrific it is watching them. Like, to give some more exposition, this is a place where the man... Literally, he draws a picture of you and then he licks the easel that he drew the image on. He'll lick it and he'll lick that. Yeah. And then he'll put the drawing he does of you, he sticks it down his trousers after licking the easel. And that's just, that's one of the better things, one of the nicer, more family-friendly things that he does. any thoughts on this romance, Pete? Any thoughts on the first story of 2022?
International love affairs are difficult at the best of times, and I would say that one that is in where was it, Indonesia, was it, and via Singapore. Japan and sorry, Singapore via Japan and the US. I mean, it's just a bloody nightmare, to be honest. And also the pandemic. I mean, you were at a loss before you even started, Ryan. But good on you for trying. I think this is all about hope. This is about trying things. This is all about trying to make things good out of a crappy situation. So, Ryan, good on you, mate. Good on you.
Certainly a few stories to tell there. To be honest, like, a lot of my favourite travels, there's like a romantic involvement somewhere along the line. You remember your trip a lot more if there's romance. So, come to Japan single and have romance. And no cheating. Don't come here married or dating. Yeah. Write that on your wall. Goal for 2022. What's your New Year's resolution then, Pete? We do it every year. It never happens. Although,
never
to be fair.
It never happens.
To be fair, though, I think my resolution did come true last year. I think I said, I did on Trash Taste, I said something like, I want to do something big, crazy and bold. And I think the Abroad in Japan studio and meeting Ken Watanabe, a long-held dream.
Yeah.
They're two things that happened. So I guess I kind of did.
That is big, crazy and bold, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, fine, but you did give yourself a rather nebulous general, because you could apply that to anything. Oh, yes, well, I bought some new shoes and these are bold and exciting. You could apply that to anything, Chris.
Sharp.
If you say something so generic, for crying out loud, I want you to I'm going to grow 3 inches. Like, do something like that we can actually measure.
Boring. No, don't do that, because it'll only end in disappointment. Because every New Year's resolution before that, I'm like, oh, I'm going to get fit and lose weight, which never ever happens. And so that's the aim for this year. Make a resolution that's broad enough that you can shift the parameters of success, and thus you end your year feeling happy about yourself and good about yourself.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, what are you going to do this year, Pete? What are you going to do? Meet Abroad in Japan in person, in the flesh, in the face.
Yeah. Resolution. Yeah, but I mean, it'll be the boring version of that, aka you coming over here rather than me going over there. So,
not necessarily, but probably yes. I am hoping to come back to the UK sometime in the next 4 to 5 months. But my resolution this year is to make a to do something really good. There you go. Do something really good.
I'm glad. You didn't need to fire yourself back into that. We could have moved on, but you went, all right, well, what is my New Year's resolution? Oh, I can't be bothered to even think of one. That's how you're starting the new year. Not even bothering to think of one. We've had the shit kicked out of us the last couple of years, haven't we? We all have. None of us wants to make any bloody plans because we can't fucking live up to them because of bloody the pox. Oh, lordy.
It is true. No, I want to, this year, my resolution.
Don't worry about it.
Is to make a short film. There you go. Make a short film.
Okay.
That is worth it. And that's do. I could do it tomorrow. It'd be shit. But I want to do a short film that's good enough to enter into some kind of film festival. And not the Pete Donaldson Hartlepool Festival. We're talking a good festival, a real film festival.
Why are you having to go to Hartlepool? Why are you lashing out? Because you can't do your little film. Unbelievable.
Does Hartlepool, does your town of Hartlepool have a film festival?
Probably. I mean, they probably don't get that many entries, but, you know, I imagine there's a Teesside film festival every
get
now and again.
Go make it happen. But before that, what's the first story of the year, Pete? What's the news? Cheer me up.
Oh, it's
tell
a big
me
one.
Something good.
It's, big it's notes, a big high one, notes. Chris.
Oh, God.
There's an open-air riverside hot spring facility in Gifu. Because of some sexy, naked visitors in this kind of onsen, basically people have been running around in the nude, taking baths naked, quarrelling, fighting over buckets of hot water, about cleansing the body before entering the bathtubs. Like, we're in a situation where this place in Funsenchi, along the Hidegao River, running through the Gero Spa area, this big place where there's a lot of spas, to be quite frank. There's just been big nude fights all over it.
God.
So they've basically banned nude bathing. You're only allowed to go in there and wash your feet. You're only allowed to wash your feet. You're not allowed to wash anything else. You're not allowed to run around because people cannot abide by the regulations, according to Hideo Koiki, 84. He basically, he helped build this onsen around 30 years ago. And he would voluntarily clean the facilities because he loved it so much. And he would visit 4 times a week to bathe for 30 minutes or so to rejuvenate from his work farming. He's still working at 84, for crying out loud. And he understands why the city have banned people from coming in and washing themselves in the nude, because people cannot play nice. And we're not talking about tourists here. We're talking about your common argon Japanese guys and gals getting in there, stripping off and kicking off.
I don't really understand the issue there. It's an outdoor bath, a popular open-air riverside.
Yeah, it's
bath.
Free. It's an outdoor bath, and it's just basically getting too busy, and people are just getting a bit too unruly. So basically, you have to wear a swimsuit, and you're only allowed to bathe your feet from now on, because nudie bathers have taken over, and they're just getting a bit too quarrelsome. A little bit too quarrelsome, Chris.
To be fair, though, one point is this outdoor river bath, right? It looks like it's not protected. There's no fence around it, right?
Like, no.
So
Yeah.
But then again, at the same time, the whole bathing naked culture is a thing in Japan that exists. But yeah. What I will say is that the baths that do exist outdoors, even the ones that are in a public space and not in like a ryokan or whatever, they do have like a fence around it. So you don't just see lots of naked people everywhere, like a European nudist beach. But that's sad. Sad they've gone like from one extreme to the other. And now you have to just put your feet in it. That sucks. Damn you, Gedo. Gedo's a nice town. I went there on Journey Across Japan 2. That's the place. Do you remember the video where Joey and I went in a 1,000-year-old log and had a hot spring in a log?
Yes.
God, that was cool. I want to do that again.
A big log bath.
It was amazing. That log, I felt something special in that log. And it wasn't Joey. It was just the log, right? They got a 1,000-year-old log. They've hollowed it out and they pump hot water into it. And you can sit in there and just feeling this log. It was just amazing. It was magic. And that's better than the onsen that you can't go in naked now. So go there instead. Even though the hotel was very worn down, actually quite rubbish. It was just the log was good. And we had this woman who was like our butler woman, and she was about 85 years old, and she pissed off Joey because she came in at 7 o'clock in the morning. Right, if you ever stay in a Japanese inn, right, make sure you're awake for the breakfast, or you will get fucked up. Right, so they have breakfast very early in Japan. Well, I'm thinking breakfast. Yeah. I'm thinking 10 o'clock. Anything earlier than that, that's a crime. But in a Japanese inn, it's usually between the hours of 7 and 9 at the latest.
Right,
we got to like 9 o'clock, and the woman came in with all the breakfast in our room, and Joey just wouldn't get out of bed in his room, and she was like, the woman was just like banging on the door, like, "Hi, Haka, dinner, breakfast is here. Oh, come on, breakfast." And Joey was like, "Yeah, I'm fucking coming, mate. I'm trying to fucking sleep.
I'm fucking tired, mate. I'm trying to have some sleep."
He came out and looked like he was about to rip her head off, but don't wake Joey up. That's the moral of the story.
Whenever I'm in a hotel, I get up, I have the breakfast, and I go back to bed for a couple of hours because it's just great. Sleeping's great.
Well, this was Journey Across Japan, Pete, and sleep seldom happens on Journey Across Japan. But that's a shame, though. Gifu, beautiful prefecture. Gedo, nice town. Gedo is also the Japanese word for sick, a.k.a. to vomit. Get off.
Oh.
But different kanji. Different kanji, thankfully. It's not just the town of sick.
Thank God. The town of sick.
Go there. Bathe in the sick. We'll be back with your questions and comments in just a moment, guys. The first questions, comments in the fax machine in 2022, which means they're going to be good.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What do we got for the first question of 2022, Mr. Donaldson? Begin.
Oh,
impress me.
Hello to, who is this here? Leah from the UK. I love a Leah. I know a mate who's got twitter.com/Leah.
Very good.
She just knows what she just, she was on that. She was behind the curve or in front of the curve, rather. Either way, hello, Leah. Hi, Cherubic, Chris, and preeminent Pete. I'm absolutely spoiled here in the UK because, luckily for me, Pete happens to host two of my favourite podcasts. Yes, and I do host these podcasts, the Abroad Japan podcast and Wrestle Me. Exactly. If anyone listens to either of those podcasts, I'm very much just a side dish on that particular show. But given that Japan has such an iconic professional wrestling culture, I wanted to know how popular pro wrestling is with everyday people in Japan. Is it mainstream or a bit under the radar like it is in the West? And Pete, aside from Asuka, do you have any favourite Japanese professional wrestlers? If so, who and why?
I mean, it is under the radar, but it is very popular. I do know a lot of people that are into it, but I've never been to a match myself. I would quite like to go this year. Certainly if Pete comes over, I think it'd be really fun to go together to like a match in Osaka. But no, this is very much your question, Mr. Donaldson. You're the
very
expert.
Much my question. I like, Kimura? He was, I think he was stabbed by, a Yakuza guy or someone who he owed money to or something. He stabbed by, after a match, he was stabbed by this guy, but he'd weed on the knife.
Okay.
This is the bit of story. He'd weed on the knife and he got stabbed. And because he was such a hard knock, he just went out drinking afterwards because he wasn't arsed. He died of sepsis, I think. But people sort of go, oh, and he weed on the knife. Like, a knife is dirty anyway. So he could have got sepsis anyway, to be quite
bloody
frank.
Hell.
Doesn't need to be weed on. So I like Kimura. Asuka's, if you've never seen Asuka, she's this fucking, she does YouTube actually, where she just, she lives on this kind of like, it looks like a compound, in America, this massive, American house. She's a professional wrestler, one of the very best, wrestlers in WWE. And she's Japanese, I think she's from Osaka, I think maybe, or maybe Kyoto. She's just this fucking hard knock. Fucking maniac. She's fucking brilliant. And as a joke, Mark from the podcast Wrestle Me, he for Christmas, we've always sort of said that it's weird that you can buy ring worn clothes from wrestlers. So you see it quite a lot in Japan. I've been to a couple of pro wrestling places in Japan, and you can buy like clothing that people have wrestled in. Now, a lot of wrestlers, they bleed and they cut themselves, so this stuff is just blood-stained clothing. And we sort of said, that's better than buying ring-worn stuff from women wrestlers, because it's a bit fucking creepy. People who are really into women wrestlers are a bit creepy, I find. And if you own any of their ring-worn clothes, it's a bit like buying used pants for me. It's a bit wrong. And so Mark, very amusingly, bought me this official WWE card with some of Asuka's, you know, some of her robe or something that they cut up at the end of a legendary match, which is very funny. So now I own a piece of women's wrestlers' clothes, and I'm going to hell, unfortunately.
Excellent.
But Mark keeps another Mark keeps on inviting you to wrestling matches you can't attend because it's literally in 2 days' time.
If anyone invites me to anything, and it's very short notice, it ain't going to happen, given my maniacal schedule, unfortunately. We've got one here from James from Fresno, California. He says, hello, Chris and Pete. I was wondering if package stealing is any kind of problem in Japan. Here in my area, we call them porch pirates, which is why I have my packages delivered to a safe locker. Keep up the good work, guys. James from Fresno. I'd say, I mean, I think I've got a locker. I use a locker as well for my packages, and a lot of people do here in apartments. But
right.
It's not as common here. Like, theft of that nature is not as common. Petty crime in Japan is pretty low, just because of the society. The sort of ramifications of breaking the law in Japan is that it'll screw over your entire family and ruin your life forever in a way that's above and beyond what it would do in the US or whatever overseas. Mm. I love the videos on YouTube with Mark Rober where he has a glitter bomb device. And it like blows up when the robbers, the people steal it. I think it's really sad that packages are being stolen on that scale, though. It does make me depressed. And it also makes me very grateful to live in Japan where it doesn't really happen. But have you ever had that happen to you, Pete? Porch
pirates? No, I've never. I've watched the videos like me. I've watched the porch pirate glitter bomb, and he's kind of added new things to it. So fart spray is a big thing. He does the glitter, then it sprays out a lot of fart spray, and they're like, oh, it stinks. Going through outside, he's just spaffing bloody confetti all over the place. I don't think it happens quite so much. I mean, it obviously happens because it's, you know, it really easy to sort of steal stuff. But generally, the more valuable stuff, like mobile phones and electronics, they insist on giving it to someone, you know, be it your neighbour or whatever. They don't necessarily leave stuff on porches that's worth a huge amount of monetary value. So I don't think it's really worth people sort of, doing it over here. But I've seen the videos in America, and the best ones are ones where people run in, steal a box, trip over and smash their knee, and they break their ankle and they sort of hobble back to the car. It's like, yes, instant karma.
I saw one today where someone had cleverly just put a pile of bricks in a box and left it out their front. And someone walked past, saw the box and grabbed it, struggled to sort of haul it off as they were going. The homeowner who was watching through his window opened the door and chased them down the street. They then dropped the box of bricks and the getaway continued. But like, God, it's sad. It is sad. It's very unfortunate.
It is.
Lockers for everyone. Get a locker this year. That's the
get a locker.
2022, get a locker. We've got one here from Phil, who says, God Emperor Chris, and Exalted Elder Pete, I hope this finds you well. I'm learning Japanese and would like, when the current plague allows, to visit Japan. How hard, judgmental, do you think it will be for a 6'3", 24 stone individual with long hair and a long beard to traverse Japan's prefectures? I understand space is paramount and wouldn't wish to inconvenience my hosts nor draw much attention to myself that my build would otherwise potentially create. I look forward to your advice. All the best, Phil from Manchester. I don't think it'll be a problem. Phil. Just don't go in a capsule hotel, for the love of God, Phil. That wouldn't end well.
Whenever I sort of hear of men and women, I guess, of you know, 6'3", 24 stone, like, you just think you could be a wrestler. You know, you ever see like really tall, broad men? You sort of, why aren't you a wrestler? I know why I'm not a wrestler. Why don't you become a wrestler?
Do it, Phil. Come to Japan.
Do
join
it, Phil.
The Japan Wrestling League and kick
just
some ass.
Just put a mask on. Just put like a dirty old wrestler's mask on, and people go, oh, yeah, we've got a wrestler staying with us and he wants to hide his identity.
I think what you will notice though, Phil, is when you're on public transport, people will make an extra special effort to avoid going near you, just because they'll probably be like, holy crap, that's a tall person, and we don't see that much here. Yeah. I think, you know, as a foreigner in Japan, people already avoid you a little bit on public transport, but you're going to get it to an extra special degree. Just don't take it too personally. It just happens, unfortunately. But yeah, other than that, that will happen. And if you use a capsule hotel, you will get stuck and you will regret ordering and booking one. So for the love of God, don't do that. Other than that, have a great trip. Do it. Come over. Yeah. Make it happen. And now, 2022, hopefully Japan will finally open. I've been saying that for 2 years now. Oh, God. But for the love of God, please, Japan, please fucking open. Please go away, virus. Let's make it happen. 2022, Pete Donaldson coming to Japan again. It's going to be magical. But for now, guys, let's make 2022 a good one. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. And now, let 2022 begin. And I'm going to start 2022 by going off and eating some ham and some brie.
Yeah.
Right now.
I'm glad ham that you finally gave us the go-ahead for 2022 to start a day late. I mean, it's very good of you, Chris. Thank you.
It can begin. Have a good one, guys, and we'll see you later in the week. See you all over again, right back here on the Abroad Japan podcast. Have a good one. Goodbye for now.
Ta-ta! Happy New Year!
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.